sums it all up. Arsenal, the cream of the crop.
Welcome to the 82nd edition of the Gooner podcast, recorded on the Monday evening after Arsenal's first Premier League win of the current season at home to Swansea City. This podcast is sponsored by the website for all your unofficial Arsenal t-shirt needs, goonershirts.com. I'm your host, David Udo, and my thanks to Kevin Witcher for filling the hot seat for the series of podcasts featuring some more established media types from The Mirror, The Telegraph and the Arsenal Supporters Trust. First up, we've shaken things up a bit to give you a new voice on the panel. A bit of a Maori Bischoff, in that verbally he's an unknown quantity, but he's unlikely to do anything worse than our regulars. He contributes his thoughts from the Barnet Hills on a regular basis to the online Goonia website, so he's promised to prepare us an Indian meal if he's invited back again. So, we're all hoping he's a hit. It's a warm welcome to Mr. Pradeep Kachala.
Hello.
Excuse me. Next up, he was spotted before the Swansea game doing some Vox Pop interviews on camera in Drayton Park. Is that true?
Yes, I'm embarrassed about it, but yes, it's true.
Okay, with some sporting sunglasses for some reason whilst doing so. And no one isn't going to recognise what he looks like from the podcast, but what the hell. It's a welcome return to he of the mid-80s hairstyle and the complicated love life. It's Mr. Joe Broadfoot.
I'm trying to look like Charlie Nicholas. You look more like... No, don't.
Jack Nicholson,
I got told I looked like Rob Cole, and that was quite an insult.
I was going to say Carlos Puyol, but...
I can live with that.
Really?
Sort of.
And finally, last but by no means least, still enjoying the first months of fatherhood, but quite evidently not yet under the thumb, as he's here this evening in a run of witty form after editing the letters in the current issue of the Gooner. It's hello to Mr. Mark Ollington.
That's the best intro I've ever had. So whoever wrote that, thank you very much.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're all pleased, I'll put it that way. Mr. Pradeep, let's start with you and the Champions League. What are your predictions for the finishing order of Arsenal's group starting tomorrow night against Borussia Dortmund?
I think we'll come second, as we usually do. We play enough good home form historically in the Champions League against foreign teams at home. So Man United aside, even beat Barcelona last season. So we'll go through, probably second. I don't see us winning the group. I think tomorrow is going to be tough. And second round, get knocked out, and you know that's us for the season. Really, I don't see us going any further than that in the Champions League.
We're bangling about finish second in arguably the worst division we could possibly be. Having said that, it's an awful lot better than it was last year, and we did struggle to finish anywhere apart from second. Mark,
take that one saying on there hit of yesteryear. Everything changes, and this year things will change. And I honestly believe, I come across here tonight, Dave, thinking, don't be negative. People out there in podcast land get sick and tired of the constant hatred towards the team. But, sorry listeners, I do believe we'll come third or fourth. Even though the opposition isn't particularly strong, after watching that Swansea game, which I'm sure you got onto at some point, so I won't dilly-dally on that, I honestly believe this is the worst Arsenal team since the mid-80s. It is unbelievable how far we've fallen in just a few games. And that Man United defeat, the 8-2, which also might go on a bit later on, I'm not quite sure, but that has knocked the stuffing out of the entire team. And I know we might have signed a few more players since, but I believe when Wenger, when he says that confidence has been totally smashed by that game, I think with regards to tomorrow, it's come far too quick. I could see nothing than a 3-4-0 defeat. I really can't see us picking up that many points at home. We'll come third at best and be a night of UEFA Cup on a Thursday.
Bloody hell, that's absolutely terrible. Joe, I'll turn around to you and say, look, according to our league, we're playing against the fifth or sixth best team in France, maybe the third or fourth best team in Germany, and Olympiakos from Greece. Surely we're going to win it.
I don't think we're going to win every game.
And for fuck's sake!
A draw will be fine in the first game, particularly as it's away from home. I'll settle for a draw. I'm not sure we're going to get a draw, but I don't think we're going to get... I don't think we're going to get hammered away from home. I'm not seeing it like that. And I really think, as Prani said, I think we'll finish second in the group. I think that's That's a possibility, a distinct possibility. We shouldn't get too carried away by a heavy defeat against Manchester United.
What do you mean we should get carried away? We lost a defeat 134 years.
Well, wait a minute. Do you remember the team that lost 6-1 at Manchester United?
8-2 is so different to 6-1.
To me, it's not one goal difference. No. We had a penalty that was saved.
What's worse, 6-1?
8-2, 9-3, or 10-4. The reason is I've seen Arsenal win 6-1 many times in my life. I have never seen us win 8-2. Yeah, to concede 8 goals is disgusting. And the funny thing is that could have been 15, 16, 17 goals. That 8 goals was kind to us. That is the worst game I've ever witnessed in my entire life. I'm sorry if I preempted any questions, but that result is unforgivable in every single step of the road. It is disgusting.
Well, it's absolutely fine. I mean, there's nothing more for my impression of Colin Murray introducing Arsenal on Thursday night, live from Emirates Stadium, Arsenal versus Dynamo Zagreb. You know, it's a far more important thing to talk about the 6-goal defeat in Manchester on the final weekend of August. Was it out of our system? Was it a turning point for the club or indication where we're headed? Anyone ignoring the fact that United's team was an awful lot younger than Arsenal's, Mr. Guest Punter, what's your feeling about this arguably worst weekend as an Arsenal fan?
I only found out the other day my wife was videoing me as the 8th goal winning and stuck it on Facebook.
You got a very kind wife there, buddy.
I've never actually watched a game with her when we've won. I mean, it's been instances when we've been 2-0 up and she'll come in and we lose 3-2. It's that bad.
Can I suggest you might get divorced from your missus?
She'll listen to this.
I'm sure she's a lovely lady. I'm sure she's a stunner as well. You're a good looking man. But I will say, you know, if it's going to result in this Friday, you've got to stop it, mate.
And that was the worst performance of it. I mean, being an Arsenal fan for 20 years. And there was no fight in the team. They made simple errors. And you're absolutely right. The average age of United was a few months younger. And what's interesting about that is the players that they bought in the summer and in January, Smalling and Jones, both had the opportunity to play for Arsenal. Mm. Both had the opportunity to sign for Arsenal. Mm. And maybe a couple of years ago, they probably would have gone. And now you're getting younger players who actually would rather go and try this, look at Man United, maybe fight for its first team place, rather than go to someone like Arsenal. You're getting for the team, but you might not improve as a player.
Very good point, mate.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very good point. I mean, as someone who was so depressed about the start of our season, I actually spent that weekend in Brighton with my girlfriend, no word of a lie, and she said, "Oh, Arsenal play Manchester United on the Sunday afternoon. Do you want to watch it?" And I said, "Actually, no." And we were just going past the bookshop, and she said, "Oh, have a look in that pub. And take a quick look at the score. What's the worst that can happen?" At that point, we were 2-0 down after half an hour, and I just turned around to her, and I regret saying there's no need to watch this. It'll only get worse. Now, the next time I'm in a conversation like that, you know, I need to say we're going to bump into two other women, you know, or something like that. It'll be absolutely fine. But Joe, your thoughts on that 8-2, the biggest loss since the 1897-1898 season?
Well, it was particularly painful for me because I was sat in a pub that filled up with Spurs fans, so you can imagine their delight. They were saying, "You're even worse than Spurs." So that's what they were charging us. So
it's terrible. On a day where Spurs got beaten 5-1, normally we'd be dancing in the streets and having a right laugh against Spurs
fans. At their expense.
That seems like a really good result in comparison to ours.
But no, I don't totally agree with it because because let me have my say, Mark. You're so aggressive today. What's come over you? We need you in the team. But on that we would have needed a Mark Ollington playing in midfield, you know, biting everyone's legs. That's the sort of spirit that was missing. But the thing is, that team, when I saw that lineup, I thought, well, we're going to get hammered at least 4-0. My prediction was a 4-0 defeat. When I saw the fixtures, the way they came in, I thought, well, we'll get 1 point probably out of this. And that's the way it's turned out. I didn't get the Udinese stuff right at all because I thought we'd go out. I thought we'd be out of the Champions League. So we've done slightly better than I expected. I thought we'd only draw at Newcastle because the team is too weak. He's now, Arsene Wenger's obviously, you know, through the transfer window, suddenly decided at the last minute to strengthen the team, or the powers that be decided we needed to strengthen the team. And that's what's happened. So I'm not overly disappointed because the results, we've got exactly the number of points I expected at this stage of the season. Okay, we took a heavy defeat, but if that resulted in us strengthening the squad, then so be it. I can accept that.
Pradeep, itching to say something.
I think the only thing you can remember about that game is every fucking goal went in the top hand corner. Every goal. Ashley Young scored two screamers. Wayne Rooney scored, what, two free kicks?
Yeah.
I mean, they probably won't get a day like that in the next... If they score eight goals all in the top corner again all season, United, they'll probably be laughing. Maybe they've used all their luck up already.
It's an odd thing. I mean, I was seriously anticipating the awful, awful result and an absolute spanking. It did remind me during the Liverpool game at home when we went 1-0 down, and rather than sort of having everyone around me going, fucking come on, Arsenal, let's do it. Come on, let's do it. Let's win sort of 2-1 and 3-1. As soon as we conceded the first goal, everyone around me just went, yeah. But yeah, it was a retirement that, oh, we've lost, we're losing 1-0. We should probably include a second goal in the injury time at the end. And lo and behold, we did. I'm very, very worried that there appears to be a, well, what's the fucking point? Attitude amongst the Arsenal fans.
What worries me about what Joe just said there, you know, and nothing against you, Joe, at all, mate. I think you're a top fella, but you said I expected only to only get 1 point out of those first three matches. Now, the Arsenal of 2-3 years ago, that shows how far we've actually fallen. If people were saying before the Man United match, I expect to get absolutely hammered today because you've got like loads of players missing. Well, the reason why we have players missing is because we always have loads of injuries, don't we? Every single season, we've got to be prepared for that. United had Vidic out, Ferdinand out. We also had lots of suspensions, all our own fault. Now, a decent manager, a manager with some gumption and some gusto, would have recognised players like Cole Jenkinson playing, but he played a bit of Premier League football, and he would have said, do you know what, lads, let's get beat 2-0 today, let's get beat 3-0, let's put 10 men behind the ball. It doesn't matter about playing expansive, free-flowing, marvellous football. And a decent manager would not have made that team be utterly, totally humiliated, because that's what it totally was. I mean, Pradeep makes a very good point, all the goals in the top corner. The fact of the matter remains, mate, it could have been 15-16-0. They were cutting us apart at every single opportunity. And players like Chesney, who's had a brilliant season, actually, is it fair to him to concede 8 goals in one game? And I honestly believe whatever happens now, whether we win the Champions League, whether we win the Premier League, this will always be the year we got beaten 8-2 by Man United. This isn't a 5-0 defeat or a 6-0 defeat. This is an 8-2 defeat. And it's disgusting. I went to Athens for a weekend away. The minute after that, all anyone could speak about was us getting beaten 8-2 by Man United. We are the laughing stock of Europe. And it's happened because of Wenger's negligence, totally and utterly. He didn't buy in the summer, he bought a few kids. And the fact of the matter is, people go, oh, it's okay, he's bought a few players in the transfer window. We're still, at the minimum, £16 million in profit with regards to players. It's disgusting. And that result was disgusting. And, you know, I used to love and adore Arsene Wenger. But the fact we got beaten 8-2 in that game is negligence. End of story. We did not need to get beaten by that amount. And it makes me so angry.
I can't disagree with your argument, Mark, in as much as you're saying the manager's been negligent. He clearly has, but he's finally smelt the coffee, or somebody's stuck his head in the coffee pot and said, you know, Arsene, look around you. Do you see a strong squad here? Is this squad going to compete for the Premier League? Is it even going to compete in the top four? Had he not bought those players on transfer deadline day, I'd say no way. We weren't even going to get near the top four. Now I think we might just make it. So that defeat might be the beginning of something not great, but something a bit better.
But do you think, Joe? I mean, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts. I think Mertesacker could be a brilliant signing. I don't buy these too slow at all. And I also think, Arteta could be really great as well. But I believe those players were bought because Wilshere and Vermaelen, he knew, were injured. I don't reckon, even got beaten 8-2 or not, he would have signed those players had those players not have been injured. I think, you know, we might have got a couple that Park might have come in. But I think it's absolute bollocks that we signed those. We've got defeated 8-2 by Man United. He signed them because he had to. He's got more long-term injuries.
I don't know if there's more to it than meets the eye, actually, whether it's Wenger who didn't buy the players in the summer, or what I've been hearing on other websites is that the club are prepared to spend the money on the fee, but not match the wages.
As we found out about Mikel Arteta taking a £10,000 a week.
To move to London,
absolutely. it's a fair comment you've just made there, Freddie, because one of the stories I got immediately after the Arsene Wenger situation, Arsene Wenger losing to Manchester United situation, he kind of put that team out as if to turn around to Ivan Gazidis, who by all accounts he can't stand, Peter Hillwood, and ideally someone like Sam Kroenke, and go, okay, I'm going to play your players. Let's see how we get on. We lose 8-2, and then at that point it begins, it gets the phone up and say, right, as per my previous suggestion, can I have the money to buy some proper grown-up fucking players?
But it is the money, though, did he? He spent £10 million on that motorcycle, whatever it was, and everything else. But we still, when you're adding Jovinio to that, when you're adding Oxlade Chamberlain, that was £12 million, we still made £16 million profit. Profit!
And whatever happens
on transfers.
The transfer kitty, whatever happens to the transfer kitty that never seems to be touched, yet... I mean, this time it wasn't touched, effectively, yeah.
It wasn't touched. Because, no, we made £16 million. We made £3 million on season ticket prices going up and ticket prices going up, plus £16 million minimum from transfers. That's almost £20 million. We're up.
Yeah,
it's mental. It's fucking mental.
I know the financial fair play rules are coming in, but we've gone far too much in a conservative direction. You look at someone like Man City, and that's a pretty aggressive transfer policy. We're polar opposite of them, and it's too conservative.
Who knows if these fair play rules are ever going to have proper effect in the Premier League? We don't know for certain, even though they've said it's going to happen. Do we know for sure?
There'll be bookkeeping ways around it, Joe. It won't have any bearing whatsoever.
I can't but think it's a very, very odd stance taken by Arsenal, which is, well, in fairness, if by the end of this season they're going to make the financial. Bits and bobs very, very different. So if you try and spend more money than you actually make, oh, they'll come after you. Well, no one seems to give a flying fuck. I mean, Paris Saint-Germain have gone out and spent an awful lot of money than Arsenal. The same can be said of Manchester City. I'm pretty certain they won't care if they then go and somehow win the European Cup by any stretch of the imagination. I think Arsenal are completely blissing it on everyone else.
I mean, there's even that random Russian team now paying. How much are they paying for?
Oh, Arsi. Yeah.
Apparently, they want Arshavin as well.
They were offered, but my understanding was they were offered him by Arsenal.
Oh, really?
But he was like, no, I don't want to go for essentially Millwall out in Russia. £300,000 a week they're playing Simonetto with no tax.
That's amazing. What gets me is we probably have every Premiership team actually spent the very least. Has any other team made £16 million profit?
No.
Minimum. So therefore, we're probably net spend the least team in the Premier League. And everyone was saying in the summer we had to strengthen. Even the AKBs that listen to this now have effigies of my face, are putting pins in it. Even they were saying in the summer we had to strengthen the team. When you look at the players that have come in, the players that have come out, we are no better off, are we? We're probably worse off because, you know, Fabregas and Nasri have left the team. Now, and even though I think Arteta's a brilliant player, it isn't the same calibre, is it? He's 29 years of age, injury prone, coming towards the end of his career. I mean, I'll give the guy a chance. I think he looked great for a half against Swansea. But at the end of the day, to use a football cliche, we're a weakened team now. But we've made a lot of money. I mean, what's happened to this £20 million that we're making from, you know, season tickets and the transfer profits? Where did that £20 million go?
What, our £20 million?
Yeah, the one we made for profit in the transfer window. What happened to that? Fuck knows.
It's a fair question, but ultimately the end of season transfer window is shut now, and all we've got are those players that we are going to be set with certainly for the rest of the season. I mean, Pradeep, excuse me. What do you think about the new signings after, admittedly, after having seen the season? Seen Saturday's game. I know that you'd like to have seen that, but unfortunately, you were on a stag do. Fair play.
It's the right idea, mate.
No, I saw it in the pub, actually. Left a little bit of a sour taste in the mouth because you're like, well, why didn't you do this 3 months ago? I mean, you know. My personal view is if they went after Arteta in June, Man United would have signed him up or Chelsea would have signed him up because they were on the lookout for a similar pair of similar ilk. They wanted a Modric, they were looking for a replacement for Scholes, and he would have fit the bill perfectly. So, Even then, he was always the player that Wenger wanted to bring in. You used to hear it every year, he'll be the one that he'll bring in when Fabregas goes. Mertesacker, I think the jury's still out. He didn't really impress me that much on. It's going to take him a while to get used to the Premier League. And I like Jovinho. Park, I don't see the point in that. Really don't see the point in that.
It'll sell an awful lot of Arsenal shirts in South Korea, I'm sure.
But then, I just don't see the point of getting players on loan. I mean, the last one we had was Baptista, and
he was great, wasn't he? Liverpool scored once, didn't he?
Is he allowed to play against Chelsea, Ben Ayoun? The next injury crisis and Chelsea loom.
No, he won't be allowed.
Stands.
Won't be allowed.
Playing Carl Jenkinson in midfield. Wow. poor bloke. I like Carl Jenkinson. He's an Arsenal fan and he's been overexposed too quickly.
Carl Jenkinson, the man who, having it pointed out in the Manchester United game by Theo Walcott, saying don't get sucked up to the halfway line, he decided to mouth exactly his permission of fuck off every single time he had the idea put to him. Mark, how do you think about the new signings?
I think if we had some other players go with him, a lot of them are very good. I think Jovinho, obviously, only seen him playing once, but potentially he could be okay. Arteta, if he stays free of injury, could be alright. Park, who knows? Hard to say. Jenkinson, can't quite figure that out, but give the kid the benefit of the doubt. Oxlade-Chamberlain, hard to say once again.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't mind us signing youth, I don't mind us signing experience at all, but we really need one or two what I call proper kind of players. People would say we've got lots of experience with Ben Ayoun and also with Arteta, but the fact remains is that really Arteta's, Ben Ayoun's only here for one season max. Arteta's, we just need more. I'm not saying these players we haven't got aren't any good, but we need more.
I think I agree with you. I think we signed some really, really good first reserves within the entire playing squad. Unfortunately, they do look as though they're going to start absolutely everywhere. I mean, Joe, where do you stand? Is Jovinho actually a proper player, or is he Emmanuel Eboué in disguise? Or is Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain going to be the new Theo Walcott? Or the fact that he was not on the bench on Saturday means that he's essentially cost £12 million and been told to fuck off back to school?
Well, that's quite a long question, but I'd say...
answer it, Joe. I'm going
to do my best to answer it quickly, but Oxlade-Chamberlain... You just have. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I'm not too sure about him at this stage, because it wasn't really fair to judge him coming on very late against Manchester United. So his first team appearance is in a 8-2 defeat. And
well done,
we've already said enough about that. So I'm not going to judge him on that. Jenkinson, I'm not convinced about him at all so far, but I think he could be one for the future, but it needs a few, to look at a few coaching manuals or have somebody hit him over the head with one. And then the other guys I'm quite happy with, pretty much. Even Ben Ayoun, I think Ben Ayoun might be here for the long stay, even after his loan. He may well stay on a bit longer if it all fits in. If he fits in with what's going on at Arsenal Football Club, who knows, if he will, though. Arteta, if he stays fit, it could be an excellent signing. Jovinho, well, I think he's good. What I've seen so far pre-season, he looked pretty sharp. Scored two goals his first game. That's not bad. And
Mertesacker,
he looked a little bit lacking in pace. I mean, he's going to have to get used to the Premier League. But Mertesacker, it was just great to see somebody that tall in the Arsenal defence, and that alone made it worthwhile seeing him there for me. And then there's Park. He scored a fantastic hat-trick for his country against Lebanon. Okay, Lebanon, not the best international side, but if you saw his goals, you'd be impressed. And then, effectively, Miyaichi is a new signing as well, because he's got his work permit.
Oh, Rio Miyaichi, yeah.
Yeah, so let's not forget him.
Is he playing the Carling Cup next week, do you think?
I think he's injured. Yeah.
Oh, flipping.
He's got a half
injury. Yeah, well, flipping team. Seriously. Yeah. I paid £10 for a Carling Cup ticket to watch him, but he's not playing.
Same little pay. He looks useful in the England side. In the England 21 side last week.
That's fair enough, actually.
Lansbury, but I can get a game for us.
That's a joke. Francis Coquelin getting a game above him.
I'm not too sure about that, because I really like Coquelin. I've been watching this
Coquelin guy's... Van, I call him.
Yeah, I call him Coquelin as well. I thought I had the copyright on that, but obviously
I think
not.
Said the same joke.
We all stole it from each other. But Coquelin, I think, is a decent player. I rated him above Frimpong, and I've been proved completely wrong about that, because Frimpong's been on fire, apart from getting a red card. I've been so impressed with Frimpong.
He's massive, Frimpong. Yeah. Like, massive.
He's got a very nice wee afro, I suppose.
Mm. No, he's like body. He's like he's 19. It's huge. I've been to the gym like quite a lot the last year. I've still got a beer belly. Look at the size. How does he do it?
I don't know. He's we should invest in it. Whatever pills that Arsene Wenger's given him. Not saying he is, of course. But he did used to give them creatine, so maybe yeah. Frimpong's got some special recipe.
Bad now. Crack cocaine's onto you now, I think.
just to finish, from left to right, based on everybody we've signed over the course of the summer, who's going to turn out to be Thierry Henry and who's going to turn out to be Colin Pates? Starting with you, Pradeep.
Colin Pates, come on, that's easy. It's going to be Jenkinson, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Thierry Henry, I want to go for Chamberlain.
Interesting.
Why Colin Pate? I don't think he had a bad game for Arsenal. He's just never picked.
Just piss off.
Against Benfica in the home leg, he's the best player of beating 3-1 in 91-92 season.
Don't miss my
anyway,
question.
Anyway, best player I think will be Arteta just for this season. And I'd say the worst player, sadly, that we signed will probably be Jenkinson. I can't. But you know what? Even though Wenger's a nincompoop sometimes these days, to sign a player that's played 5 games or is for Charlton in League One, there must be something about him.
There must
be. Like when,
well, I'm looking for it.
You know, one of your mates is going out with a really ugly munter. You think to yourself, why is he going out with her? And she must be really good at the old sex. There's got to be some reason.
Maybe Carl Jenkins has got a really nice personality.
I'll tell you what Carl Jenkinson is good at. He's quite a decent passer of the ball, and he's quite quick. So I've got to give him... I mean, he's got the raw materials to become a really good right-back, but it's just that I'm very worried about his awareness.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that Santos dude.
Santos.
We forgot about him, didn't we?
Any left-back who has the number 11 shirt, as far as I'm concerned, is something to be scared shitless
of. I forgot
it's about
Santos.
It's like Gallus wearing number 10.
Yeah.
The listeners will be up in arms now going, we want to hear your comments about Santos. Do you save it for next time, or do you mention it now, Dave?
We're going to have to save that for next time. Okay, so, mate. We will have to take a short break before continuing our next podcast. I'm very, very sorry, Joe. People are just going to have to tune for the next one. But as always, just to mention that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, our address is GoonaPodcast@gmail.com. So with that, it's the usual thanks to our sponsors, GoonaShirts.com, and it's goodbye from Pradeep.
Goodbye.
From Joe.
Santos.
And finally, Mark.
Santos.
We'll be back soon. I'm your host, David Udo, and thank you very much for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da, all good friends and jolly good company. Way!